Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Mr. Netanyahu asks for a pardon from his 5-year trial. Survivor of October the 7th shares his story. And NRB plans Christian Media Summit in 2026. As Israel is moving into an election year, the Prime Minister has officially asked for a pardon, which, if granted, would bring an end to the 5-year trial against the Prime Minister. With more on this story, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
A major news item this week is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has formally submitted a petition to the President of Israel to ask for a pardon. Mr. Netanyahu was under police investigation starting 10 years ago, and then the trial against him started 5 years ago. During his previous term as Prime Minister, and has now been continuing during his current term. The three cases for which Mr. Netanyahu is being tried have the case names of 1,000, 2,000, and 4,000. In the first case, he is charged with giving government favors to a businessman in return for receiving personal gifts. In the second case, he is charged with giving business favors to a news outlet in order to obtain favorable news coverage. And the final case is similar, but involving a major telecommunications business. During President Trump's speech at the Israeli parliament in October at the end of the Gaza war, Mr. Trump shocked the assembly by directly asking the President of Israel, who was on the podium, to formally pardon Mr. Netanyahu. Now Prime Minister Netanyahu is carrying through by officially asking for a pardon, which is one of the roles carried out by the largely figurehead President of Israel. Legal commentators report that it is anticipated it will take the office of the President of Israel about 2 months to make a decision whether or not to pardon the Prime Minister. Such commentators also say that granting a pardon before the court convicts of any wrongdoing is highly unusual in Israel. Now the country awaits the decision of the president, which will be added to the mix of the upcoming election year in 2026. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, as many Israelis begin returning to their homes after the October the 7th attacks, we hear from Yarden Titzmar, who lived with his family in Kibbutz Beri before the massacre. Beri was one of the largest kibbutz, home to more than 1,200 residents. During the 3-day assault, 102 people were brutally murdered, and a third of the homes were completely destroyed. In this exclusive interview, Yarden shares his story of survival, loss, and resilience.
I was not here in the kibbutz. I was camping on the beach with friends about an hour from here, hour north of the kibbutz. And I've been part of the security team of the kibbutz for about 8 years now. So I had rifle in my home in Israel. It might don't look like it when you travel around, but it's not so easy to get a rifle. You have to have some kind of position in the IDF. So in Beri, there was only about 10 people that were had the permission to carry a rifle. I was one of them. And what we always trained on with the IDF is that in case of a terror attack, which we never thought it will happen because we never experienced it, they said the worst case scenario is 2 to 5 terrorists coming to Beri, and the security team's job is to hold on for about 15 minutes until the IDF will take it from there. And I was about an hour away north of here, and once I realized that there are terrorists in the kibbutz, I didn't know what to do. I said, okay, I don't have 15 minutes. I called my neighbor. I told him I have rifle in my home. He was in the special forces also. And he told me, I told him, go to take my rifle. This is the combination to the safe, to the gun safe. And he took my rifle and he joined the security team. And he survived. He was actually not far from here, preventing the terrorists from getting from this neighborhood to the next neighborhood over there. And he survived. He fought for 15, 16 hours until he was replaced by the IDF. Once I gave him my rifle and didn't try to return, I supported my family from a distance. I don't have kids, but my girlfriend was also visiting her parents in the center of Israel, so she was not here. And my parents, they live in a house that looks exactly like this one, but on the other side of the kibbutz. So they had a little bit more time to prepare. I told my parents because here they came first. But over there they came about an hour later to this neighborhood over there. So I told my parents to prepare themselves in any way. And my father left the safe room for a minute. He took some water, first of all, because people didn't have anything to drink. He took a power bank, which was very smart because later on all the electricity in the kibbutz died, so people didn't even add the battery on their phone to let people know that they are alive even. But most importantly, he took two hiking poles and zip tires, and he managed to find a way to lock the safe room door. And when the terrorists broke inside their home, they tried to open the safe room door. They tried to break it. They couldn't break it. They tried with the rifle and everything. My parents were there quiet. I told them to turn all the lights off, to pretend like nobody's home. And they just sat in the safe room quietly. When the terrorists broke inside, they went into the second floor of the home with machine guns to wait for the IDF and with RPGs. About 5-6 of them all the time at the second floor, waiting for the IDF to arrive with grenades and everything. And in the living room, traffic of terrorists in and out of the house the whole day. Opening the fridge, eating, drinking, smoking, resting on the couch, sitting on the floor, having lunch, having dinner, opening all the drawers, stealing things, stole everything that was valuable. They even took my parents' credit cards and were buying stuff online while my parents are locked in the safe room. And it went on like this for 12 hours until the IDF finally arrived during the night and killed the terrorists in my parents' home. From 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. they had terrorists in their home, but they were saved. My three youngest brothers and sisters also, they were very lucky. They were also evacuated in the first bus after around 12 hours in the safe room. And my oldest brother, Shachar, was part of the security team. Also, like me, he was part of the security team of the kibbutz. And when everything started, he took his rifle, went out to fight. He left his wife and two kids at home. He directed his wife how to put the baby's bed under the handle of the safe room door to lock it with the bed of the baby, and how to put the fridge in front of the main door of the house. And he went out to fight, and he fought for 7 hours. Killed many terrorists, preventing them from getting to his neighborhood. But after 7 hours, unfortunately, he ran out of ammunition. The IDF was still not there, and they managed to get there and to murder him and the people that were there. And he saved this whole neighborhood, because this is the only neighborhood that he fought for, the only neighborhood in Be'eri that no one was hurt. Because about 15 minutes after they were murdered, the IDF finally arrived to the kibbutz and started to take over the kibbutz. So this is the only neighborhood in the kibbutz that nobody got hurt. So he also saved his own, probably his own wife and kids. So I know my brother. My brother, if you would tell him when he left home that he would save his own family and all his neighbors but lose his own life, he would do the same thing. So it gave me the comfort to know that he died like he lived. And he was a hero, and the whole community was evacuated to a hotel in the Dead Sea and were there for nearly a year. When we moved to, the community moved to temporary houses in Kibbutz Retzarim, where we are still now. This is a temporary houses that was built by the government, which is much better than the hotel, but it's still not Be'eri, so we are waiting. We are all waiting to return to our home, to the kibbutz. It will take another year, probably, until we will be able to return here.
That was Yarden Dismar. Please pray for Yarden and his family as they return to Be'eri and begin rebuilding their lives. Finally, Troy Miller from the National Religious Broadcasters, NRB, was in Israel this week to plan for a Christian media summit in Jerusalem next year. And CBN's Chris Mitchell caught up with him.
You are planning to have the NRB here next year, 2026, in Jerusalem. Why is that so significant?
Yeah, we're going to be partnering with the government press office to bring this Christian media summit and to bring more of what I call the core Christian news, information, and influencer media here to Jerusalem. And look, we're partnering to cover two major topics I think are important for us together. One, Judeo-Christian relationships and relations. How do we build those? How do we work together? How do we strengthen the root of our Christianity? And two, we have a commitment to partner on Christian persecution that's going on around the world. This is on a rise. We know right now the president has been talking about it in in Nigeria, all across Africa, India, South Korea, of all places. A major U.S. ally has a socialist government in now, has put pastors in jail. So this is a major issue for us to address.
You're making a stand by bringing the NRB here to Jerusalem. You're here as well. And yet support for Israel has fallen. How do you combat that?
First of all, I think the major thing we have to combat is Bible illiteracy in general, because not only do we see the support for Israel waning amongst the younger generations, but we also see the younger generations embracing woke socialist ideology. So Bible teaching, Bible understanding, discipleship is how we do this.
That was Troy Miller. Please pray for the important role of the Christian media in presenting the truth in these challenging days. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time for the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to onlinemiddleeastreport.com.